we're going to do a special Jess and Len, but thank you so much, guys. Yes. Get the fuck out of here. Right, guys, we haven't done this before.
Okay, there's a microphone right there. Is there anybody that has any... Now, this could go terribly wrong. Anybody that has any questions at all for us, it could be anything from anything. You could also just shout out from where you
are.
Yeah,
just shout it out.
If you feel weird about crossing over 12 neighbors. How about lights? What's what?
What are we working on? So... Lennon and I are writing two movies right now. We've never written a movie before.
But we've never written a TV show before.
That's so true. You know, after Playing House it came to an end, we were so angry and in disbelief, to be honest, even though we were aired at Friday night at
11 p.m.
It came
as like that might have been a clue.
Came as a tremendous shock to us.
Yeah.
And the truth is Lennon and I have a lot of trouble faking it. So we would have loved to go and pitch a TV show right away, but like it, you know, it was such a Playing House was such a labor of love that we
it's
really
a hard
couldn't.
Act to follow.
Yeah.
For us, because we got to go to work with our best friends every day.
Right.
Each other, but also like our crazy. These, you know,
yeah,
crazy
these assholes.
People. And also, we were telling a story we were proud of, and it was also funny. We thought so.
Right.
So that's a hard act to follow.
Right. So that we've decided to, one of them is kind of like a grown-up fairy tale.
And one of them is, I'm describing it as Taken meets Bridesmaids.
Yeah. Moms, a bunch of moms versus the mafia. That kidnapped
anyway.
Their pieces of shit daughters. So yeah, we've been having a lot of fun doing that. And it's back to basics. Sometimes I would say about 3 or 4 times a day, I scream out, I'm so bored. Oh God, I hate this so much.
I hate writing.
Why are we doing this?
And I'm like, I'm the only one here.
Right.
But, pretty hurtful.
But Lennon always reminds me that this part is actually... the most exciting in some ways, in the beginning of an idea, you know, because that's when you're really like...
Yeah, and also we're probably going to be doing it for another 6 to 9 months. So
oh, God, no! It's so
sweet
bad.
Jesus, I hope you like some part of it.
Yeah. I like the
she
snacks.
Does.
I like anytime there's good snacks.
Okay.
Yes, anybody else have it?
How did you meet?
So Lennon, I was at the UCB many moons ago. It's our 20-year anniversary of the Del Close Marathon. At the end of June, we're going to be in New York performing. And that was pretty much when I started 20 years ago at the UCB. You came later.
Not much later.
But Lennon thought she was going to be Meryl Streep, a real dramatic actress.
I don't know why that's a joke. That could still happen.
But she...
I'm not kidding.
The first time you saw me, Lennon, I was getting my hair
cut. A haircut backstage by one of our improv teachers. That was not even his like second job.
Nope.
And you had the Hugh Grant haircut.
I had a Hugh Grant haircut from 4 Weddings and a Funeral, and he was cleaning up the ends. There were not very many women at the UCB at the time, and so we were put on different teams, like kept apart from each other, like The Handmaid's Tale. I haven't seen that one, but
you haven't, obviously.
Right? Minus the bonnets, right? I knew of Lennon, but I could tell too that Lennon was like a nice girl that had fallen prey to this island of lost toys, much like me. And I, you know, so I would like track her, but the way I, but I never got to get my claws in her until she came. I was living in Los Angeles, very, very sad, no friends. And Lennon came out for pilot season, and she was also very vulnerable. And so I, you know, like I made it really casual. Like, oh my God, we should get coffee. And then like I just started to stalk her. Like, you know.
None of this is true.
It is true. We went to a yoga class, whatever.
Our first date was at that. What's it for now? Farm shop, but before it
Farm
shop.
Oh yeah, City Bakery or something.
Yeah, so we and I think I cried about being away from my husband and how hard that was.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, all right. Yeah, that's right.
And then we did, and then I was like, well, what if LA people do? They go to yoga. So I was like, let's take a yoga class. Neither one
Love
of us
yoga.
Have ever taken yoga before. We got in an advanced class. That is no joke. We were upside down with our heads on a block, and we made eye contact
through our vaginas.
Yeah. And that was before we had babies. Yeah.
That's right. So they were tight.
And
right?
That was it. That was kind of it.
Yeah.
And then we started to come up with an idea together, and it was...
And that feeling, you know, like when we started writing together that first day, I was like,
was
oh my God.
Literally turkey chili. We were like in a restaurant just like pitching ideas.
And it was like that feeling you have when you're a little girl and you meet your first best friend. It's like, I just loved her so much. And I said, I want to write with you for the rest of my life. And then I told my husband that I said that. And she was like, oh, well, we'll never see her again. That's insane, Jessica. Don't do that. You come on too strong. But you know what? When they come back, you know it's real. You know, if you haven't scared them away, that's sort of my thing. If I haven't scared you away, then I know it's true love.
I was like, I'm interested.
Right. And then, you know, certain people... I think it's the same when you fall in love. You feel like you've known them, like in another life. That's how I've always felt with Len. She feels like I've known her since we were kids, but we've only known each other really since we were like 30 years old, right?
Yeah. We actually got married a week apart from each other. And it's
but we didn't know each other.
We weren't at each other's wedding.
Yeah. And then we had babies 5 months apart, girls, and they are best friends.
And that just, we weren't pushing it. Like, they really like each other, and they play exactly like the two of us play. It's amazing to watch.
Yeah. And they're very similar to they're like little mini-me's of ourselves. So when they fight or how they play with each other is exactly the same. Like Soraya's just like, Bibi, I got this new game, and we can spin the thing. And Bibi's like, ah! Who cares? You know, just and then, but you can see on Soraya, she's both horrified and like, ah, yes, life, you know,
because all the time we do it just the right way.
Yeah, she said the other day I took them to the beach and they were like, can you with Lennon's husband, we co-parented, and Bibi's like, hey, let's make ourselves mermaids out of sand. And I was like, oh God, this is such a bad idea. But of course, like, I did it 5 seconds before they had to be in an hour-long car ride. And Bibi goes, do you feel all that sand in your vagina, Soraya? And she was like, I do.
I do. I feel it. I feel it, Jessica.
I feel it.
All right. Any more questions?
Anything else?
What inspired the Marissa and Whistler characters?
Oh, God. So Marissa, you know, sadly, Marissa is really not very far from my true personality or what I was like when I was 15.
Minus all the dick jokes, right?
I wish.
You weren't that foul-mouthed. I mean, literally every other word is...
That's true. She's a little bit like an alter ego, but we all have like a shadow self, like the self that we feel like is truly us. That's Marissa for me. You know, she wants it too hard. You know, like her nipples are too hairy. You know, that kind of thing.
Without these $400 highlights.
That's right. That's right.
You're Marissa.
But I did the show. I did this character on Comedy Bang Bang. Scott Aukerman saw me do something. What a great show! Andy Daly. There's nobody like better than that than his characters. But I came on as this intern. I also never play characters. I don't play anything other than really myself on things. Sometimes I turn up the bitch a little, but So I did this character, and she was at first very grounded in reality. She was a 15-year-old who got driven in by her dad to Hollywood to do this podcast, and she had dreams of stardom. And then I invited Lennon to come on with me.
This was like your fifth time being on.
That's right.
Like, it'll be fun. We'll just like fill out the world a little bit. And all right. She said was that she wanted me to be like her teacher.
That's right.
And I was like, yeah, sure. I'll find it in the moment. So I started to be, I was playing her gifted teacher. We made up the name immediately. And then he asked me like what I used to do, I think. I started talking about my sniper history. And
that you had skin pockets that where you hid your knives.
Not on the first episode. That was Joey pockets. Those came later.
Well, I, during this podcast, become enraged at Lennon.
Really mad. And if you listen back,
it's legitimately mad because she was building all this crazy shit in this world that I was like.
It was crazy, but it was grounded. It was all believable, but it was bananas.
It was bananas. So we got off and we got out of the thing and I go, well, I will never have you on this again. I'm going to kill you off next time on. That was ridiculous.
I could tell she was mad too, because also it was really interesting and Scott was asking me a lot of questions. And she was like, and so I was like, well, she's not going to want me to do that again because, you know, and then people really liked it.
They liked her better with Lissler, and so
they thought it was super funny.
And then once I gave in to the crazy, then I couldn't get enough. But I had to let go. I really did. I had to stop being such a control freak about it and let improv be what it is, which is like the mistake becomes the funniest thing. And you, my friend, were a mistake. Anything else? Anything else? Who's bored? Anybody? Anybody?
No way. All right, we should let these
wait,
wonderful...
one more. There's one more.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Raised her hand.
What are the good writing snacks?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Well, she loves Dunkers. You know, from Trader Joe's, there are those like little Dunkers. They're like biscottis, but cookies.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Lennon, right? So she's like, in her house, when we're at her house... I always will take a walk back to the snacks, and she has little labels, you know, like pastas / grains here and whatever. So I know
it's
where
amazing,
all the
right?
snacks are. And what I do is I will take a few loose nuts, and then I leave the bag open. Or
it's
I will
like the Wild West,
and it drives Lennon fucking crazy. Or I'll unwrap.
She
just
asked
a tiny...
about what kind of snacks,
right.
Not what you do to piss me off.
Right. Wait, I have to tell the other story about the chocolate. I'm gonna see. Anyway, but the other thing I'll do is I'll unwrap a chocolate bar, and I'll just take a
peanut
tiny...
butter cups and
yeah. I'll try to take just a little corner of it, right? Like nibble a corner, and then I just throw it back in there. So your husband thought you had rats. Legit. Because it looked like a rat had gotten in there. The other thing that was fucking funny
this
was...
This is when we were first writing together.
Yeah.
And now I know when this happens...
who it is. But the other thing is happening, she had just recently recovered these chairs, and I was sitting there, and I got up, and there was a brown stain... And she goes, do you have your period or is that chocolate?
I don't remember asking that question.
And I actually think you went like this. And
I then smelled
you're
it.
Like, oh, thank God it's chocolate.
I smelled it. That's how I knew.
Did.
I didn't think it was chocolate. I don't know why I smelled it then.
Anyway.
I was upset about my newly covered seats. I was so proud. I had YouTubed how to do it and I had taken them apart.
I don't feel good about it.
I had bought them all at Pepe's.
Yeah, and used the staple gun.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress.
One more. I thought I saw a hand. Yes, ma'am.
This might be a long-winded. This might have like a long-winded answer, but what is your friendship dynamic like off stage or whatever?
It's this.
Yeah. You know,
it's
Marissa's
on stage is the same.
Marissa's been talking a lot about her hashtag authentic life she's been leading. And really, that is what we're about now. After we went through, you know, I got breast cancer. Lennon was with me the day I got diagnosed. She did not leave my side for the next year. And I mean that literally. She was so up my ass.
You know, what's happening?
I would be like,
Like, do you have an appointment? You have an appointment, right?
Just everywhere. Like, you would people just thought that we were in a three-way marriage because they thought we were this fabulous lesbian couple who were really doing it for themselves because Lennon showed up that day wearing a mama bear, this very unflattering sweatshirt.
That we had gotten for free at a gifting suite you made me go to.
She showed up and she was just like,
it's the softest fucking thing you've ever put on your body. Your friend texts you, it's cancer. I said, where are you? I don't think about the sweatshirt I'm wearing, nor do I think of that you're going to bring it up every single time. Then, this is amazing. I love this story. 2 years later, fucking Goop puts it on their website. And guess who buys it and wears it and makes our costume department buy it and put it in my room. And then I'm like, what is this? This is the thing that you keep telling is a piece of shit to everybody. The exact same set. Anyway, amazing.
Oh, we digress, but once somebody saves your life over and over and over again, like there is no, like we are know each other so well. And I mean, the biggest thing that I had to let Lennon do, which was really hard for me, was, you know, I mean, I'm somebody who put on like a hoop earring and like mascara the 2 days after I gave birth and cleaned only my living room so that when Lennon came over, she would think I had it all together. That was like the beginning of our friendship. And then cut to chemo is the craziest fucking shit you will ever do, right? It's you're so vulnerable. I had to freeze my scalp. Lennon packed me in ice like a choice piece of holiday meat. It was such an insane experience. And At first I was like, I don't want anyone to see me like this. Like, I'm so vulnerable and scared. Like, I would rather just do this by myself. And then I realized, no, actually, you do want somebody, but you only want somebody that you can be like total, like you're on drugs, right? This is getting so dark. But the point is, once you do that with someone and you let them help you, you actually become closer than you will ever be with another human being. And so now we don't fight. We don't, there's no end where I begin and you end. Like, this is it, you know, like this is life. This is the love affair, you know?
Well, it used to be like I would hold on to the thing I was pissed off about, whatever that might be. Cause clearly she has a problem with cashews.
Yeah.
But I would like wait and wait and wait. And now I'll be like, shut the bag, you know, like right away, like just shut the bag and it's better that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very lucky to have, I feel like we were brought together like by the stars, you know, like it really, I mean, I really feel that way. I know people feel that way about their best friends, but that's really it. Like, you know, and so I treasure her. And so it's nice to be able to get to do this funny stuff. And as much as I hate writing with her, I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else.
It's hard when you want to do it well, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it, I guess.
Yeah.
But if you want a good product at the end, you have to work, right?
Yeah, you got to work,
bitch. You
got to
work, bitch. Thank you guys for coming out.
Thank you guys.
Have a great night.